The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The press tour for one of the biggest film releases of the summer, It Ends With Us, has been dominated by reported disagreements between its director and its star. Blake Lively, who produced as well as starred in the movie, has been accused of using her significant clout to overrule director Justin Baldoni on decisions which go beyond her scope in working on the film. A tightly worded comment from his camp suggested that perhaps the actor was ready to step up as a director in her own right going forward. So it got us thinking about actors who've successfully done just that. And I'm joined by Dee Reddy, pop culture journalist and podcaster. Dee, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I suppose the one that jumps to mind, Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck. I mean, he's not going through the best of times career-wise or personal-wise at the moment, but he's had a really, really interesting trajectory. He went from being a child actor who starred in, well, I don't know if you can use the word star for a Burger King commercial, but he would have been in Burger King commercials. And then he did a lot of work with kind of indie directors like Kevin Smith on Mallrats in 1995 and Dazed and Confused with Richard Linklater in 1993. And then I think his breakout role was the one that he wrote for himself with Matt Damon. And that was, of course, Good Will Hunting. And they got the Oscar that year for best.
So it showed he was someone capable of making things happen for himself.
Absolutely.
When did he make his directorial debut?
So his directorial debut would have been in 2007. He'd kind of gone through an absolute career peak when he was the kind of main leading man in Hollywood and things like, you know, Pearl Harbor and Armageddon. And then he did a couple of absolute clangers. And then he decided to direct himself. He made Gone Baby Gone, which was a superb film. And he also wrote the screenplay from that. And then the success of that meant he kind of signed up with Warner Brothers to have an exclusivity deal. He did The Town, which was great. But I think it was really Argo in 2012 where he showed what he was capable of doing as a director.
And we have a clip.
Where is your passport issued?
Vancouver.
Where were you born?
Toronto.
Toronto. Canadians don't pronounce the T.
Some Comité guard is actually going to know that.
If you're detained for questioning, they will bring in someone who knows that. Yes. Mary, who were the last three prime ministers of Canada?
Trudeau, Pearson, and Diefenbaker.
What's your father's name?
Howard.
What's his occupation?
Fisherman.
Where were you born?
Halifax, Nova Scotia.
What's your date of birth?
February 21st, 1952.
Good. What's your job on the movie?
Producer.
Associate producer. What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name? What's your middle name? What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy. Look, they're going to try to break you, okay? By trying to get you agitated. You have to know your resume back to front.
You really believe your little story is going to make a difference when there's a gun to our heads?
I think my story is the only thing between you and a gun to your head.
Now, that's brilliant. A brilliant thriller.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Argo, go watch it.
It's fantastic. And it's the backstory to it is so, so interesting. Beyond the story that's told on the screen, it was actually part of a sort of cache of stories the CIA released to the media as part of a soft power campaign to show what they were capable of doing.
Well, that's a really enjoyable movie. Another one that many, many people enjoyed was Barbie and the director there.
Greta Gerwig, another actor and screenwriter turned director. She had a much more indie career than Ben Affleck. She would have been in things like Hannah Takes the Stairs, Greenberg, Frances Ha, White Noise, and even, unfortunately, a Woody Allen film, To Rome with Love, which wasn't either of their best work, let's say. And then Wes Anderson as well. She's married to Noah Baumbach, who is an absolute indie darling, for want of better words. And he co-wrote the screenplay with her. But this is the only film from a solo female director to gross over $1 billion. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the world that wouldn't be aware of how big a hit it was last year.
In the meantime, before Barbie, she had Lady Bird and Little Women. So two great movies.
Well, that's three films in a row that were nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards, which out of all the directors we're discussing today is kind of the standout success.
And this is a clip from Barbie.
It is literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we have to always be extraordinary. But somehow we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but also you have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, but if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women, because you're supposed to be a part of the sisterhood, but always stand out and always be grateful. But never forget that the system is rigged, so find a way to acknowledge that, but also always be grateful. You have to never get old. Never be rude. Never show off. Never be selfish. Never fall down. Never fail. Never show fear. Never get out of line. It's too hard. It's too contradictory. And nobody gives you a medal or says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but also everything is your fault.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. What really jumps out there, as well as the direction, as you pointed out off air there, is the writing. And she got her, that was her second Academy Award nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay. Well, that's funny that Barbie ended up in Best Adapted. The previous one that she'd gotten was for Little Women. And then she was also nominated as well as Best Picture for Best Original Screenplay for Lady Bird. So quite a talent.
Now, the final clip we have is from Maestro, which was celebrated, I think, mostly in Bradley Cooper's nose.
Yes.
You know, your mother told me that you were very upset because you had some rumours about me at Tanglewood this summer.
Oh, I really wish you wouldn't have said anything.
Jamie.
It was fine. It was no big deal.
It is a big deal because you were upset.
I wasn't upset.
So let's discuss it. Your mother and I have talked about it, and I said I'd come down here and talk to you about it. I tried to enlighten or shed some sort of understanding on what could have happened, so... But I can only imagine that it was spurned on by jealousy, darling. Jealousy of whatever it is that I do. And it's plagued me all my life, and I apologize for it plaguing you now. But I hope that helps.
So the rumors aren't true?
No, darling.
Thank you for coming to talk to me. I'm relieved.
I'm relieved. Great writing there too. How did he make the transition from leading man to director?
Well, not even leading man. I mean, his earliest stuff was Sex and the City as a guest star role in one episode of The Love Interest. He then made a cult comedy, is probably the politest thing to call it, Wet Hot American Summer in 2001. His breakout role would have been The Hangover in 2005. So that's an interesting jump now to Maestro, which I think... It's definitely a film that is not for everyone. It wears its artistry on its sleeve. But I really enjoyed it. And I thought one of the most interesting things about it was actually one of the directorial choices, where it covers a long span, a long period of time. And instead of telling you that, they just change the type of camera and the type of film that they're using across it. So your brain almost naturally knows, oh, I'm watching something in the 1970s. Oh, I'm watching something in the 1950s.
Very clever.
Pretty brilliant. It's pretty brilliant. He also, I mean, he's definitely someone, I think, of the three we've discussed that considers himself to be an auteur as opposed to a director. He learned how to conduct for the film, which I'm sure the producers felt was an unnecessary expense, but he did do it. He's a really smart guy. There's a brilliant clip that went viral when he was promoting A Star Is Born, which was his directorial debut on French television, where he surprises the audience and actually the man interviewing him by responding to the interviewer in fluent French. So he's clearly a really smart guy and someone who likes to learn new things.
One of the best examples of star turned director, Robert Redford and Ordinary People, which won him a Best Director Oscar. But we have George Clooney has directed Clint Eastwood, most famously, I suppose.
Absolutely. I've referred to him in our notes as the granddaddy of actors turned directors. It's almost too many to pick from. We had a long list that included Clint Eastwood, George Clooney. Jordan Peele is another one. I mean, he went from doing a comedy sketch show to having films that critics have called some of the best films of the 21st century so far. But the long list has Sofia Coppola, Mel Gibson, Olivia Wilde, Tim Robbins, Jodie Foster, Helen Hunt, Ryan Gosling. One thing that actually really jumps out at me from the list, Pat, is the amount of female actors turned directors. And it strikes me it is so difficult for women to get an entry point into the industry as filmmakers on the ground floor, that there's obviously more opportunity for them if they're established actors.
Yeah. And the granddaddy of them all, Charlie Chaplin, who was the silent screen star and then went on to have movies like Limelight and The Great Dictator.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes sense, I suppose, if you have people. And a lot of them are child actors. There's a whole separate thing that you could do on child actors turned filmmakers or people that started in the industry very young. But it makes sense that if you spend your life on a film set, you're learning and you're picking things up. Yeah.
Dee Reddy, thank you very much for joining us. Now, coming up later on News Talk, Dermot Gavin will talk us through
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.